I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Central Stadium, an iconic sporting venue. As part of a major fundraising drive, My Stadium Seat is offering you the chance to place your name or the name of someone who loves GAA on a seat at the Field of Legends. Packages from €100 include seat naming plaques, certs of authenticity, online biographies, and open day tickets. Show your support. Visit mystadiumseat.com. Central Stadium, where every name matters.
Welcome to the Premier View podcast. Today, I'm your host, Kevin Ryan, and I'm joined by Tipperary and Turtle Stars legend, Michael Cahill, for another one-on-one. So thanks a million for joining us today, Michael. We're going to go straight into today with some listeners' questions. So Jack Dan 2022, the best player that you've played with and against. So these are all questions that came in from listeners on Instagram and all the social media. So that's a tricky one to start off with. The best player you played with and against. So wasn't Sean Smith anyway.
Best player I played with and against. I suppose, I played with a lot of good players, I suppose, but I know you could be biased as well, but I suppose Pádraig Mair has to be probably one of the best hurlers I ever played with, to be honest. Like, you know, it was more his consistency and his attitude towards the game, like, you know, and obviously he's a good friend of mine as well and that, but like, no one can just you know, that can dispute what the man did on the field and off the field really as well. Like, you know, he's a real good guy off the field as well. Like, you know, but Pádraig was a brilliant player. You know, you were always safe enough with Pádraig outside you. You know,
and he went up the whole way through nearly together, like, from minors into, you know, the Tipperary set of club mates as well. Like, and you know, I suppose did that add to your, I suppose, experience as Tip, kind of being with such a good friend off the pitch, as you said, like the whole way up?
Yeah, huge. Like, you know, from myself and Pádraig soldiered all the way from when we started out in Dorlas Oak. You know, I remember, I think we played under 12. I think we could have played midfield together at under 12 back that distance ago. Like, you know, and all the way then from Tip minors, 21s, all the way up to seniors, you know. And so we picked up some great guys along the way, like, you know, that bulk of that group that probably made up the 10 years from 2010 to, you know, 2020 and that there, you know, and some of them still going. But Jash of Pádraig was one of the greatest anyway that I would have played with. Yeah.
Definitely. And, you know, as a cornerback, really, during, I suppose, a golden era for Tipperary, you played against some good corner forwards. Anyone stick out then, to answer the flip side of that question? Your toughest?
Yeah, I played on some good ones, all right. Yeah, it was actually only Eddie Brennan there today. I suppose he'd be one of the better ones. a decent enough day on him in 2010, but you know, he was obviously an excellent forward, you know. And I suppose the one I always say is Damien Hayes. He gave me an awful time in 2010 when we played Galway. So it was just the pace of the man, you know, pace and strength, and a lad that's willing to take you on. It's every cornerback's nightmare, I suppose. You want the fella that's going to stand beside you, but in nowadays, you know, in the game nowadays, there's not too many of them going to just stand beside you and let you hurl them, you know. So
Damien was really good. In tape, I suppose, training session, anyone, you know, you're having your internal games and there's someone coming down to you saying, you know, bollocks, you know, or sugar, I'm in for an L, tough 40 minutes or whatever here.
Yeah, there'll be a few, all right, you know. I suppose, look, the one thing I always said to myself, I always preferred to mark the best lad there. Like, it was the only way I was going to improve myself, was even if you did get a hiding certain days, you'd get to grips with it eventually, you know, and that's how you learn, like, you know. So sure, look, there was a lot of lads, you could name out any amount of lads, sure. I suppose when I went in initially, sure, you know, you might be marking Kelly, and sure, you're only a young fella coming in, like marking the great legend Owen Kelly, like the likes of these lads, or Larry then added something a little bit different, Larry Corbett, like, you know, Larry could disappear. He could be beside you 1 minute, the next thing he'd disappear, and you'd think you'll have a hand on him and you don't. You know, he's just crafty. But there was lots of different skill sets there. You know, Bubbles the Wire, one of the most recent ones, then, like, he could sell you a sidestep and put you out in the next county, like, you know. So, look, it was great to mark all those guys. Like, that's where you learn your trade. That's where you improve yourself, you know. So,
absolutely. And is there anyone there, like, you know, you're obviously still going with Thurles Arcey, who's now on finish with Tippa. Anyone currently on the inter-county scene, maybe like a forward, you're saying, geez, I'd love a go at him now, you know, for 60 minutes, just like maybe an Aaron Gillan or someone like that.
Yeah, I only ever got one run at Gillan, actually, and it was in a league game. Jesus, I was probably one of the last years I played. It could have been 2018, I'd say. But he came over to me before the throw-in. It was before he probably left his mark now for three or four All-Irelands. Like, he hadn't really started off. But he came over, and he actually went over in his ankle before the game even started. So I don't know, did he go over on my boot or on something else? I didn't even get a chance to hurl him in the end, like, you know. But that was my only...
You kept him scoreless.
Yeah, get them scoreless. Yeah. But yeah, definitely, there's forwards there, and I'd love to have a go at them, you know, that kind of way at the moment. But, well, look, the legs wouldn't allow for it nowadays, I'd say. But 10 years ago now, it might have been a different story, yeah.
And then just another question. So John Ryan asked, thoughts on playing Gaelic football again this year? Sars, you know, you had a great year with I think it's County Junior A champions in the end, and a nice win in Munster as well. So thoughts on playing Gaelic.
Yeah, look, it was brilliant, really. It was a lovely way to end the year, because I suppose I struggled this year. I only actually ended up playing, I think it was a 10 minutes of club senior hurling this year in the end. And look, it's very disappointing, you know, when you're there and you believe you're still able, but the body doesn't, you know. When your knees or whatever else don't allow you to do it, it's disappointing, you know. I actually thought I wouldn't get to play anything, but I chanced a bit of football about a week after we got knocked out of the hurling, and the knee seemed to hold up well, and it just went from there. And it was the football, you know, it was just a more relaxed sort of environment. It was brilliant, really, and you were playing with guys I suppose you wouldn't normally be hanging around with or playing with. I suppose when you're playing club senior hurling, it's kind of the same group more or less every year, you know. But it was just lovely. Yeah, it was a different, more relaxed atmosphere, and, you know, nothing too serious. But sure, at the end of the day, then we went on and won a county final, which obviously that's brilliant, like, you know. So and the lads, in fairness to them, we got to a Munster semi-final, and we came up against proper football teams, I suppose, when you're going playing the likes of Cork and Kerry. But we were fairly humbled that day. But no, it was a great, great experience. Jeez, I wouldn't hand it back. I just thought it was great. Yeah, it's a nice release from the hurling. You know, it's not
it's something serious. Yeah, more common maybe teams going out of the hurling, just the way the season's kind of scheduled now, and maybe having a go at the football kind of thing. Like, you know, exactly, it's a different club, exactly, maybe different years. I'm sure it wasn't the first thing on your minds when you were going back in July and August. One final question we'd have here is, again, Again, it's from KB462, so a big shout out to KB, if that's a whoever that is. What win meant the most to you? So I suppose that could be club or county or inter-county. Oh, or...
I was thinking this one that would come on today. Yeah. I suppose, look, you have to, I suppose, the inter-county, the pinnacle is your All-Irelands, like, you know. So I suppose, look, sure, 2010 and 16 obviously were the two big years for us, like, you know. And I suppose 10, you know, after the disappointment in 09, I was on the panel, but it was the extended panel. I actually spent most of that year injured. That was the first year I came in, 2009. So I was only on the extended panel the same day. So, but yeah, just to get over the line in 2010, I suppose, and get that kind of, you know, get on the horse and get things going. Like, you know, it was great. I suppose
that was Kenny, a real breakthrough win. That was a real breakthrough year for you personally, wasn't it? 2010.
It was, yeah. Look, I've had a sort of an injury hampered career for a lot of it, but like, I suppose 10 and 16 were actually 2 years that I was injury free, and I always said to myself, if I could be injury free forever, I would have never had an issue, you know. Mark,
we'd have a few more All Irelands if you were injury free.
Sure, that's well, you never know. I suppose we let a few slip through our fingers, but yeah, that was kind of my breakthrough year, 2010. Myself and I suppose a lot of our group kind of came that year, and you know, it probably set us up for years after. Look, we had lots of disappointments as well, obviously, you know, stating the obvious. But yeah, 10 and 16 were brilliant years in terms
of getting over the line in both of those in 2010 and 2016. I suppose in many ways they straddle different kind of years in terms of hurling. Like, you know, you're going from 2010, which was maybe kind of like seen as an all-out war, into 2016, which kind of seemed more tactical. And I suppose your playing career straddles the two eras. What were the main differences, I suppose, that you see in the games or in the preparation or anything kind of like that jumps out as you're saying, yeah, geez, that we would have got away with that in 2010 maybe? Or
it's funny, yeah, the game, like, it seems to be changing every couple of years now, like, you know. So like 2010, it was, as you said, it was a battle. It was kind of end-to-end hurling. It was fierce exciting on, I suppose, on behalf of the supporters and that, you know, because every ball was get the ball and length of the field with the ball was route one, you know. And it was kind of battle of the titans, so whoever could win that first ball, you know. I suppose Eamon O'Shea kind of transformed us a little bit that year as well. He had the forwards playing with a little bit more freedom, and you can see it in the passing that day. I think it was maybe the pass that Noel gave for Larry's goal in 2010. But that was a real kind of a real training field effort. You know, Eamon O'Shea had coached the boys into use of their space. And, you know, Larry, like I said before, Larry could be beside you, but next thing he'll find space somewhere. You know, he was gifted at the likes of that. So I suppose that started off that kind of that type of hurling, and the lads carried it on. 2016, I suppose, six years after that again, like, you know, so the game changed slightly, I suppose, and there was a change in personnel and that. Look, sure, I suppose there was still a fair bit of end-to-end, but it was gone a little bit more tactical, I suppose, in 2016, you know. It was a great year, really, because I think we won the Munster final as well the same year. And from what I remember, like, we won a lot of Munster finals, and we didn't perform well after winning those Munster finals in years previous, if you get me. We would have lost, say, All-Irelands or All-Ireland semi-finals. And I used kind of put it down to maybe the long layoff between a Munster final at that time and maybe your next game. So, they're the 2 years anyway.
Like, that's interesting now about the long layoff. So, you know, did you try and kind of like account that? Could you get to the same intensity in training matches, or just something you was kind of just played on your heads the whole time that had to be dealt with?
Yeah, I always found it was very hard to keep that intensity in a training environment. You know, like, they always spoke about Kilkenny, and Kilkenny, in fairness, they had, you know, an era of players where they nearly had, as people were saying, there was 10,000 going down watching their training sessions to see those 15 on 15s. You know, like, we had a good 30, but it was very hard to get to that intensity that you'll meet on championship every day. You know, if say if you had 5 or 6 weeks of a layoff, you know, I felt we just kind of, it nearly petered out by the time you got to it in those years, by the time you actually got to playing championship again after winning a Munster final, you know. Like 2010 was a key example of that. You know, we were hammered the first day by maybe 10 pints against Cork. And we went through the backdoor system and it actually benefited us. So we got on that bit of a roll of momentum. And that's, I feel that's what won it for us really in 2010 was just that bit of a roll we got on. And I think the Galway game was key to us getting over the line, to be honest. It was kind of one of those games, you pull it out of the fire and that gives the team huge, you know, a huge grit going into that final game against Kilkenny, like, you know. 2016, I suppose, slightly different. We kind of managed it a bit better in that, but everything seemed to go right in 2016. You know, we won every game, more or less, you know.
Yeah, I suppose that's when that particular TIP team was, again, at its peak, and there was talks, maybe, you know, great rivalry at that stage with Galway, maybe, you know, the TIP, again, yeah. didn't follow it up. Do you think maybe just kind of picking up on something you said with difficulties in dealing with, you know, like the long delay between like maybe winning a Munster, but again, can you put your finger on anything why Tip might be able to at the moment kind of back up all Ireland's, be it 2019, 2016, 2010, like, you know, you've been involved in a couple yeah. there, does something just drop off a little bit or is it just kind of bad luck?
It's hard to know. I suppose we were probably unlucky. 2010, we had a change in management, you know, we would have been going well, I suppose, in 2010. And it was probably a bit of a letdown for the lads when the setup changed a little for them, you know. And I suppose it, in terms of that kind of a thing, lads are getting used to a new setup, they're getting used to new training methods. It kind of throws you off a little bit. Like sometimes it can work the opposite, you know, a new manager coming in can actually boost the whole thing. But like when you're coming from the highs of 2010 and you feel you're on top of the world and we're just after breaking in, just after winning our first All-Ireland, you know, the 2011, I suppose, was a key year where we could have probably won an All-Ireland, you know, the year after. But yeah, sure, small things go against you and it's hard to keep that intensity then, like, you know, so... I suppose it's not always going to be plain sailing, you know, and different yeah, things can happen and lads can come and go and this and that, you know. So
yeah, injuries then, like, you know, just to kind of pick up on that as well, as said, like, you know, you were there for the big days in 2010 and 2016. Yeah. Was that maybe frustrating seeing teams maybe are part of panels and not being, you know, not being able to kind of contribute on the field, like, or, you know, kind of
hugely frustrating. Yeah, look, I suppose you ask any player about injury. Look, it's devastating at the time, but especially when you feel you can make a difference and you know if you're injury free. I always felt if I was injury free, I could play. You know, and I had no fear about marking anyone, you know, on the field of play. Like the bigger the better player for me, like, you know, but it was just the injuries really did kind of, I suppose, set me back a lot of years. Like I had woeful difficulties between hamstrings and everything else. I was constantly tearing hamstrings and this and that, you know. And
what do you think that's down to, Mickey? I'm thinking about Roy Keane here, book or whatever, and he's saying, you know, he'd if he was kind of half fit, he'd play, and he's looking at Ruud van Nistelrooy maybe, like, you know, and he had a sore whatever, and he wouldn't play an FA Cup semi final, and you know, Ruud was playing when he's 39 or that. Like, do you think, you know, what do you think that is? Which are kind of an injury record, or like, do you think?
Look, I suppose a lot of it, I know you can say recovery and that. Recovery, I suppose, look, is a huge element, and even more so nowadays, like the intensity of what lads are at nowadays. Like the tip boy is probably at the moment training 6 nights a week, but these same lads going off to a job, like after doing it, or traveling back to Cork or Dublin, maybe at 9:30, 10:00 at night, you know, like they're not getting that proper recovery in to be able to sustain what they're at, you know. So inevitably it comes down to the tracks that you're going to have fatigue and you're going to get injured, you know, that kind of way. So there was a big element to that in it. And then look, you have the whole, it's probably there's a big probably genetic maybe element in it then as well when you come to kind of the more long-term injuries and that. So like I've had a cruise ship, but I know a lot of fellas who've done two or three cruise ships, you know, that kind of way. And a lot of people in their family would have done it. So look, there's a lot of factors to it. And then you have, look, as we said, the training load, the speed of the game as well has gone through the roof in the space of 10 years, you know. Now they're doing more strength and conditioning nowadays and that as well. But like, I suppose if you add in all those factors, I suppose that's a lot of it, like, you know. And there was a lot less known as well. I think if I was back, if I knew what I know now, 10 years ago, I don't think I'd be injured. I'd have been injured half as much, because now you have activation for maybe 40 minutes before a game, before you go out training. You know, you have injury prevention programs, you have this and that.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
We didn't have that back then. Like, the first gym session I probably ever did properly with a team was 2009. You know, because that was my first year in. Whereas young lads nowadays, like, they're prepping them from 14. You look at that group probably that came through Limerick at the moment. They were prepped 10 years ago for where they are now. And look at them, like, you know, they're
To pick up on that. You were playing when you were club senior hurling when you were 17, and like. Get into that debate in a while or where you stand on it, but like just on the whole kind of strength and conditioning, do you think that there's a part to play at that you know, we have a lot of kind of like younger listeners or whatever, maybe kind of 15, 16, do you think they should be doing all the activation work, or is that something maybe when they're 20, 21 they should start it up, or what's the, I suppose, your main advice there?
To be honest, I think the way Limerick went about it was the right thing to be doing. Look, young lads, they need to be learning the trade. Not necessarily, they don't have to be pushing massive weights, but they need to be getting in their technique, getting all that stuff in, I suppose, from about 14 years of age, just getting used to the activation, getting used to technique and getting their mobility perfect and that kind of thing. If they have plans on playing that the game at a high level, especially the fact every county is doing it now. So if you don't do it, you will get left behind. You know, that's kind of the big thing with it. I suppose a lot of parents and a lot of older people kind of fear it. They fear that whole strength and conditioning is nearly like, what they don't need. They're too young now to be doing weights and this and that. It's actually been proven quite the opposite, actually. Like, you know, it's beneficial for the young fellas. But that's, you know, they need to be taken through it is the thing, I suppose. They need to be coached right, you know, they need to learn the basics very well. That's, I suppose, look, it's a whole debate that goes on, I suppose, isn't it?
And look at that, Tip. Do you think Tip then are in a good place for that at the moment? Obviously, having teamed up with Setanta College, I suppose, with a particular focus for the underage setup.
Yeah, look, I suppose we've probably been forced into it. I think our group and the success, I suppose, or well, if you could say success, but the success, I suppose, that our group and the boys went in the last All-Ireland in 2019, it maybe glossed over the fact that we still needed to be doing that stuff and we weren't doing it with the early age groups. You know, like down in Limerick, I suppose, because they weren't as successful as we were in that 10-year period, they were putting in the work from with that group maybe at 14, 15, 16, all the way up along. Whereas we were kind of just, we had our age groups, and you'd have your 30 players, that whoever makes it, you know, the best hurlers make it generally. But then you've all these guys who fall through the net. So, like, yeah, we're probably late to the party at the moment with it, you know, and that's, you know, it could take a while for us to see the fruits of something like that come true, because it doesn't happen overnight, you know. But I'd say, look, we're becoming more proactive on it. It's good to have Satanta or someone overseeing it, but like, it could have been done, and it was suggested a good few times, probably, you know, like Parik mentioned, the time Lucas was there in 2016, you know, like Lucas had great intentions if given the role of putting that sort of a setup in place, you know, and he didn't.
Seemed like a missed opportunity.
Yeah, missed opportunity really is when you look at it now, because now there's a big rush, you know, yeah. Whereas they could have maybe 6 years of work under their belt, you know, at this stage, if it did happen. But look, that's whatever happens there happens. But,
and you'd wonder, like, you'd seen a Piercy, the club in Limerick, you know, they're advertising for like a, whatever, like a strength and conditioning coach, yeah, or a coaching officer, like, you know, for them. So Do you think now, just to kind of maybe move it on a bit from Tip, like, you're obviously from Turles Archers, are we getting into the era of, like, almost a super club now, with you know, and that, like, being more kind of urban focused, kind of GA, or do you think it's just a blip, maybe, what's happening, I suppose, kind of lately with, I suppose, more urban clubs kind of having good championship success?
Yeah, it is funny, I suppose. Yeah, look at Ballygunner. Ballygunner were in Turles yesterday, and you know, they look outstanding. Like, for that Munster final there, or it was yesterday, yeah, they looked outstanding for the Munster final, you know. But all the talk is, look, they have a great structure in place. They have psychologists involved with them. They had a massive backroom team last year. Someone said the exact number of what they had involved. It was crazy. But to have that, you need, I suppose, funding, or you need money on your side too. Like, and it's very hard to reach that if you don't have the funding. And I suppose you get that with the inter-county thing as well. Like, it's no secret. Like, Limerick have the funding to be able to put in place those structures too. You know, it's, money doesn't grow on trees, as they say. Like, so,
yeah, but you know even like, more and more clubs doing analysis now. Like, you probably would have seen at inter-county level a decade ago, kind of thing. And you know, it is, as you said, it's cost, like, even to run a club set up these days, it's costing a lot of money. And maybe that does all favour the urban clubs, as well as the bit of the numbers game, where you have more players coming through.
It does, yeah, it does, I suppose. Look, Ballygunner are just an outstanding outfit as well. Like, they're top class players, there's no denying it. And the same with the Piercy, like, you know. But I suppose, look, will they continue it, or is it just, like you said, is it just a blip, or a kind of an era of, you know, they just got that bulk of players at the time, and will it come full circle again? Will other clubs rise to the top? We don't know, I suppose, you know. But they've set a fair standard, you know. I think look, a lot of it just seeps straight down from inter-county. Like, club teams are, it's become a lot more serious and a lot more labour intensive even to play a club hurling at the moment. I know ourselves, even, like it's, you know, you're training, even there's, you're going into the gym now as a collective unit, instead of, say, you're giving your program and, right, go away and do it there, you know, twice this week, lads, you know. It's, everything is meeting up and everything is working as a collective unit and that kind of thing. And there's more man hours involved. I'm just wondering, are they getting away from the enjoyment side of it? You know, I know myself, the last 2 years, we trained very hard. It was so hard that it was hard to enjoy. kind of way, you know.
It's enjoyable if you're winning, but if you're not,
and everything is enjoyable when you're winning, but when you're not winning, it's a different story, and it's hard to keep that buzz there. I think Killer One were a great example this year, you know, and it was, I was actually delighted for them to win their county final, you know, after the year that transpired in that. But I just thought maybe they enjoyed their season a bit more. You know, maybe they weren't training or anything like that. They were obviously training very hard as well. But it just felt to me that they were probably enjoying it that bit more, you know, maybe than, even, I know the Killalangan boys, I worked up there maybe all year long, and they trained hard. They probably trained the hardest out of all the teams in Tipperary this year, and they didn't get their just desserts for whatever reason. But like you'd argue, I kind of looked into it. I kind of look into it a bit, and I say to myself, maybe just the Killer One lads were just a little bit freer, enjoying the hurl a little bit more, a little bit freer, not uptight about it. You know, sometimes that can work for you, I think, you know. So I'd be a big fan of that side of it, like, you know.
Yeah, letting lads kind of go off and play.
Let your hair down, like, without going to town, like, but like, you need to let your hair down as well. At the end of the day, it's an amateur game. We play it because we love it. We don't play it because it's a chore. You know that kind of. We shouldn't. You know that.
Yeah, so. And even like there's even a bigger debate. Like, you know, you obviously see Kilmacud there today, and like the dual players, even at club level now, seem to be coming less and less. So definitely more demands being put on players, and you'd wonder
that's
to what end or where would it all end.
How do you be a dual player nowadays? You know, it's because everyone wants, you know, their piece of silver from you. So like it's near impossible, like, you know, unless you're very understanding management and everything else, you know. It's an interesting one. Yeah.
Definitely. And like, you know, if you throw in maybe two or three training sessions a week and maybe a video session before a game. So it's like that's just the commitment on your time is definitely something. Maybe just to kind of, you mentioned it kind of already, but the health of the Tipperary Championship or otherwise, now we obviously have a lot of previous winners. It could have been said it was probably dominated by SARS, you know, early on in the decade now, but it looks that it's a lot more level playing field now. Do you think that's a kind of a good thing? Like, do you think that maybe a club needs to be winning a few counties, maybe to be pushing on, making a mark in Munster or?
It's hard to know. Is it a sign that the championship is good or what it is? I don't really know. But there's been, is it the last 5 or 6 years, there's been a different winner every year. It's great. Yeah. It's great that it's sharing it around. But like, is it being reflected at inter-county level? I don't know. Like, last year was a tough year, as we all know, you know. And I don't know how good our championship is, to be honest. You know, when you see Killer One playing Ballygunner, but then, as you said, Ballygunner are a superpower. You know, how good really are we or are our club teams then as well? Within it's hard to know. It's hard to know.
You think we've 16
senior teams? Definitely great to see it shared around, though. You know.
Do you think we've honest, you know, with a lot of debate on Premier Intermediate and Senior B, do you think we've kind of 16 senior, do you think that structure now is the right structure with 16, or do you think even we should go like a Kerry and have 8 teams kind of or anything like that? Do you think 16 is about right?
Yeah, I think they're getting there. I definitely think our championship is even. I thought the Premier Intermediate was a brilliant idea, to be honest. I know a lot of teams don't want to lose this senior title and this and that, but to be honest, you know, if you want your senior title, you know, you should be good enough to play in that top 16. That's fine. Okay. I think if you can compete and you can win that Premier Intermediate, you get a chance like Ross Grey did there. Like, they were on a huge, massive buzz, and they were unlucky today. They just lost out, you know, but like, the lift that gave Ross Grey. Ross Grey probably haven't seen something like that in years. And some of those guys probably never thought they'd win a county medal, you know, let alone play in Munster. You know, if you stayed at Senior 2 or Senior B or whatever, you don't get that opportunity. So I think it's a huge and a stepping stone for Ross Grey then to go back into Senior Championship next year and perform, you know. I think they're a great idea. But I thought in terms of evenness, I think Senior at 16, the 16 teams were fairly competitive. Like, you know, there was probably a lot of upsets and different things on different days in all the games. So, yeah, I think the structure is fairly right at the moment. Some people mightn't agree, but I thought it was very good at it. Yeah.
And just, I suppose, you're on for Tip and yourself for 2023 and beyond. Pádraic Mar obviously gone in with Tip now, new setup, Liam Callan as manager. Yeah. Is there something you'd like to do in the future, maybe get back involved with Tip, or can you see yourself going into management at club level, or, you know, coaching a team?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not tapping you up for St. Mary's here now for 2023, yes, but
I'm often asked this by lads within the club. at the moment, just in terms of time-wise, I kind of don't. I suppose... I turned it down up to now because I was kind of playing and that. as well as that, I have a little fella who's four, so it's kind of a time commitment thing as well, I suppose. But down the line, obviously, yeah, probably I'd probably get involved with teams. To what level, I don't know. Whether I'd like to coach or manage, I'm not really sure from that point of view. But yeah, it could be on the cards maybe down the line. I don't know if we get my act together. It is nice, I suppose. Look, it's nice to give back. So, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of people give up their time for the likes of myself, the likes of Park, any of those guys playing with Tip. You know, you have soldiers within clubs that, you know, that put in the work for you. So really, I suppose we should be giving back, you know, to the club. And yeah, so that's what you'd like to do in some way or form, you know. So
yeah, absolutely. Just maybe to kind of finish off, and the only question I've down there to build on that would be your biggest influence. Like, is there any one kind of person stands out, or maybe a few people, mentors, either at club or county level? You mentioned Eamon O'Shea as well. Won't thank him for all those nippy corner forwards you were marking, maybe. But
oh, I won't be thanking Eamon at all. Bringing more Larry Corbett's and Leds running all over the place.
Exactly what we need.
I've been lucky to play under lots of different coaches and managements, and I suppose that's where you learn your trade, I suppose, is you know what you get taught as a young person. And you know, from as young as Dorlas Og, you had great coaches there bringing you up along, teaching you the basics. And I suppose with Dorlas Og, it gave us a great grasp of the basics, you know. And I think that stood to our group. I suppose we were like Tipperary in a sort of a way, in that our group of players that probably came up with myself and Parik, there was Michael Cleese and there was Pat Burke. We probably formed the bulk of that senior team for the last 10 years. We're all coming to the end now, unfortunately. But like Tip, we kind of formed from our group, I'd say a good shot of players came off the one team, actually, that came up along. And that all came through Dorlas Og and their tutelage underage. You know, so like, the work that any of those guys put in, like you could mention lots of lads. Like, you probably, I don't know, do you know him, but Paddy Moore, he's a name synonymous there with Dorlas Og. He's actually with that 15 team there at the moment. Like, Paddy was
great, absolutely
outstanding, you know. Like, you know, he'd drive you on. Like, we won, I think, two under-16s under him. I think he was with us for 21s as well. And he's still going. And he's 70-something years of age. And My little fella started hurling, I suppose, there a couple of months ago, and I was talking to Paddy. Paddy arrived down out of nowhere, and he was outside defence at one stage, and I was talking. The next thing I turned around, I looked back, he was gone in. He was inside with the young fellas, and he had the 4 and 5 year olds battling for ball between, none of the basics with him. He just straight in and throwing in a ball between two of them and getting them to battle for it. So, like, lads like that, like, Jesus, you know, yeah. Like, they're invaluable, like, you know, that kind of way. And that's where I would learn my trade, from loads of lads like that. And obviously with Tip Luxor, you just get brought to a new level, like, you know, the likes of Sheedy and Eamon O'Shea and lots of different guys. You could start naming them for the day, like College Hurling. That's probably where I developed an awful lot as well, in College Hurling. I suppose Paul O'Connor there, He passed away when we were in college, but Jesus, he was a brilliant person as well, you know, that kind of way. And I suppose guys like that, really, they probably drive you on, you know, that kind of way.
Love for the game, probably.
Just people that live and breathe it, you know, that kind of way, and just know the game. They know the game, you know, and they make it easier for you, I suppose, you know. So all those lads.
Oh, great to hear, and great to hear you'll be sending out the text now for the Dorlas Og under fives next year now when they get stuck into it. So that'll be your first managerial appointment. Yeah. No, Mickey, honestly, thanks a million for that. Some great stuff there. Well done. Are you too young to be called a legend at this stage yet now? Or
Tipperary
legend, Sarsy legend. So, fair play. Right. Thanks a minute.
No matter, Kev. So, thank you.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.